We'll start off verse 1. I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit of the bond of peace, one body, one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Everybody say, above all, and through all, and in you all. That means above you all, he's working through you all, he's in you all. How many is all? All right, okay. Verse 7, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And I look at that scripture just now, and just a quick thing we'll touch on. It's not really what I'm getting to. But he says, unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we're given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. The measure of the gift of Christ, that's what we're given grace according. Well, how big is the measure of the gift of Christ? Like, how far does that expand? See what I'm saying? How large is that? We're given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Sometimes I think we read over these things and we skip over and we don't understand what it's saying, but it's really saying that we have everything that Christ had. We have every access, every ability. It's according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Remember, now you read in Ephesians 2, it's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. So Christ is a gift to us. So we have that grace to do what we've been called to do, or do what God's called us to do, not as a reverend, but as a child of God. God has given us a grace, but it's according to the measure of the gift of Christ. I mean, it adds up later on to start talking about until we go into the stature of Christ. It's measured by that. If it doesn't measure up to that, then you're not doing anything. All right. Verse 8, wherefore he said, when he ascended upon high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he descended, but he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended, the same also ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill how many things? That he might fill how many things? All things. God is very absolute about what he means. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and some teachers. Verse 12, you read. Ready, read. Say it again. One more time. Till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, and the knowledge of the Son of God, and the knowledge and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You read verse 13. Ready, read. How many? Okay, how many is all? Well, you keep seeing all over there. How many people is all? Everybody, okay. Read again, ready, read. Now, of the knowledge of the Son of God, everybody say, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, if you don't read that right, if you don't discern that properly, if you don't let the Holy Spirit give you revelation about it, you think, until we all come to know the Son of God, until we all come to know about Jesus. But remember, it's not about Jesus, it's about being like Jesus. Y'all remember that? So it's not just a knowing of Jesus, but of the knowledge of the Son of God. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Of the knowledge of the Son of God. Listen to me. Of the knowledge, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, meaning we're operating of or from the knowledge of the Son of God. Not just about him, but being like him. There's a difference. All right, many times the Lord been reprimanding me a lot, and the thing he's been resounding in my heart is that we're not going deep enough. We're too shallow. We're on the top of the ground. And so because we're shallow, we begin to act shallow. And in everything in our life is shallow. We never go deep enough. All right, it's not about knowing. It's not just about meeting Jesus. Hey, Jesus, hi, I'm Montreal. What's your name? You're Jesus. Okay, nice to meet you. It's not just about meeting Jesus or coming in contact. I heard an apostle say this one time. Many people in church are touched, but they're not changed. That's why they can do any old thing. That's why they can come to a church and be getting fed and just get up and leave. They can uproot themselves because they've been touched. Everybody say touched, but not changed. Now, see, that's the difference between knowing the knowledge of the Son of God as you think it, knowing about Jesus, and then coming from the knowledge, like acting, living life from the knowledge of Jesus Christ, from the knowledge of the Son of God, living life from his knowledge, like you doing it, like he doing it, like you thinking about it, like he thinking about it. That's what the government is for. That's what the church is all about. That we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Until we all come into the unity of the faith, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, the scripture, right? We come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. All right, and we're going to flip over in a minute. And now the Son of God, unto a perfect man. What does perfect mean? What does it mean to be perfect? Mature, all right? That means you're fulfilling the purpose. All right, that means when you're perfect, you can be perfect. But being perfect says you're fulfilling the purpose that you're here for, all right? So there's no perfection without purpose being fulfilled, all right? Until a perfect man, and then last line, until the measure of the stature. We talked about measure a little while ago. Didn't we say measure a little while ago earlier up in the scripture? It said measure. Are we given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ? Now here we say, until a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature. Listen, look at me. The stature, the size, the width, the build, right? The build, unto the stature of the fullness of Christ. So until we measure up to what Christ looks like, until we measure up to what kind of weight does he carry in the earth? When Christ walked the earth, what kind of weight did he carry? When he walked in the room, was it normal? Did he have to work upon the anointing, or did he walk in with it? When Christ spoke to something, did he have to pray a long time? Did he have to confess over and over again to convince his mind first before he can get some manifestation? Did he have a waiting ministry, or no? Did he speak and it changed? Which one? I see suddenly, straightway, immediately. That's what I see with Jesus. That's what I see with Jesus. With us is pray, wait a little while, see if it's really the Lord. Huh? Amen. Come on. Amen. Hold on. Come on. Amen. Y'all watching online too. Amen. That's us, right? Wait on. Is that really you, Jesus? Huh? Is that you, Lord? Is that really? It was a waiting ministry. So now it's taking us to do 30 years and 40 years of ministry what Jesus did in his three. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be that way. The only way it is that way is because we don't understand what it is that we're doing when we study this word. We don't understand what it is we're doing when we come to church. The statement is we major in the minor and minor in the major, right? Right? In most church building, I've seen these church building seminars, and they do the PowerPoints, and they tell you all the stuff, how you start a good ministry. You need to put your first lady in place, and then you need to start a good women's ministry. No. They do slides. Do a PowerPoint that says you got to make sure that you have your ministry helps, and then you make sure you put something in front of the people. You make sure you have a mission thing going on. Let me tell you how to build a church. Make sure your greeters are friendly and dressed the same, right? And make sure you screen your greeters so they're all nice and friendly. So because it's the first people you meet, make sure your ushers are friendly and they're well groomed and all this and that and all that's cool. God bless all that. Have well groomed greeters and have well groomed ushers. Amen. Praise the Lord for all that. But we major in the minor and minor in the major. We don't understand. We talked about this last class. We don't understand that we're really here for training. If you ever have to do something at a church, or pastor a church, or lead a church, or hold a position in a church, remember it is solely for training. If you don't get trained but you're friendly, then you're weak. If you don't get trained but you know all the scriptures, you're weak. And so now there must be some training for battle. There must be some training so that I can apply what I've been trained to, I can measure up to the stature of the fullness of Christ. Till we all come into the knowledge of the Son of God. Now you can read that different forever for the rest of your life now. Because not knowing about God. If we stop there, we think that as soon as somebody know about Jesus, well, how long we been knowing about Jesus? And how long we been believing God for what we believing for? How long we been not getting results? I know that we got to hit this is good preaching, because good preaching really hits, like the rubber hit the road. That's when they talk about, we can quote the amen, hallelujah, do all that stuff. Why it ain't looking like Jesus? You ever ask yourself that? Look yourself in the mirror. You ain't got to pray that long to get a revelation. Why it ain't looking like Jesus? You ain't got to go that, why it ain't looking like Jesus? Why does this not look like Jesus? Holy Spirit, show me how Jesus look in this situation. You know, I know that the band has become a little cliche because we got the little wristband and all that, but what would Jesus really do? No. Well, sometimes Jesus wouldn't just, we think that's being friendly and that smile. Jesus wouldn't smile all the time at these people. When the last time you read the scripture and Jesus smiled at them and said, Jesus said, as I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just, he said, because I only do what my Father tells me to do. I can only operate with how my Father tells me to operate. All right? I'm going to give you something about Jesus in a minute. I can only operate like my Father tells me to operate. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. I only do what my Father tells me to do. Now, can we say that? We're doing what everybody else wants to do, the people at work, the people on TV, the people that we see, the fashion stuff, the people that we see everywhere. We do everything else. What about I only do what my Father tells me to do? No, it's not impossible, because with God, with men is impossible. With men, it's impossible. Not with God, for with God, with that all word keep coming up. God is really absolute about things. He don't want to give you no, he gives you no way out. God doesn't give you excuse. Excuses are the crutches of the uncommitted. The moment that we give away our excuses for why something isn't what it is, that's the moment we begin to walk straight. But until we got an excuse, we still on crutches. We still handicapped. God keeps saying all things are possible. So Jesus said, I only do, listen to me, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, to the knowledge of the Son. Everybody say the knowledge of the, everybody say of the knowledge of the Son of God. Say it. All right, say it again. Say of the knowledge of the Son of God. All right, do your hand on your head because I'm trying to get with you. Say, of the knowledge of the Son of God. Because I want you to understand that it is that same mind, that same spirit that raised Jesus that dwells on the inside of us. That same power is on the inside of us. So because that same power is on the inside of us, that same power can come from us if we understand. As I think, therefore I am. As I think, therefore I am. When the scripture says, in all thy getting, get understanding what you understand, who God is in me. So now, of the knowledge of the Son of God. So now I'm operating of the knowledge of the Son of God. What's the knowledge of the Son of God? I only do what my Father tells me to do. I don't do anything more. I don't do anything less. I do what my Father tells me to do. If my Father does not tell me to move, I continue to do the thing that he told me before until he tells me to change what I'm doing. We get busy and we start getting all these different things and we get all these doctrines. That's why I say don't be carried about when every wind of doctrine and slight and cunning credit where men lie and wait to deceive. Right? No. What did God say? Well, how clear are we on what God is saying? What are we doing in our lives to make sure that we're clear enough so that we can say, I only do what my Father tells me to do? Everybody say nevertheless. Come on, say it again, nevertheless. Come on, say it again, nevertheless. Now, you know the scripture Jesus said, it's about time for him to go, and he went and prayed, and it got a little tough, and it's powerful when I only do what I come preach to you, I only do what my Father tells me to do. As I hear, I judge, my judgment is righteous. If I testify myself, then my testimony is not true, my witness is not true. I only do, me and my Father are one. I only do what my Father tells me to do. It's powerful right there. But it got to this point right here where it's time to do it, and Jesus said, Lord, if you can, let this cup pass for me. Let it pass. It's us. That's us. All right, Lord, if you can, let it. I think the Father recorded this to let us know what's going on with us. Lord, if you can, do this another way. All right, the talk wasn't as absolute as before. You know, Lord, if you can, do this another way. But right immediately. And one thing about Jesus, it never was about we think it never was about not being human. I think sometimes we think because we may worry or because we have a slight time of waver or a time of discouragement that we think we're not strong enough, but that's not the case. It's all about how quick can you come back? How quick can you snap back to the mind of Christ? Huh? Y'all hear me? He never said that you turn to a flawless man. He never said that. He's a perfect man. See, we miss, the world has let us misconstrue these words. And he started, we are thinking perfect is flawless and flawless are perfect. No, it's not the same thing. He never said a flawless man, all right? So here's Jesus now. He says, if you can, let this cup pass for me. what he says immediately after that, right quick. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Never the less. Say it. Never the break, just break it down. Never the less. He didn't say nonetheless, because nonetheless is a word that's in the Bible. They say nonetheless, right? But he didn't say nonetheless. He didn't say not the less. He said. Everybody say never. They tell you never say never, right? Never. What are some things you never, you know what I'm saying? Like, never. Nevertheless. Nevertheless than what? He said, nevertheless than what? Then he starts explaining, not my will, but thy will be done. Nevertheless than your will being done. Nevertheless than me being fully and totally submitted to what you want to be. It'll never be nevertheless than that. Yeah, Lord, you can't even cover, oh, catch myself. Nevertheless. Nevertheless, I'm not going to let my ghost say, nevertheless, nevertheless, in full submission, thy will be done. Not my will, but thy will be done. Everybody say nevertheless. Nevertheless. Now, nevertheless, it became a cute message, but it should be a lifestyle for you. Nevertheless, in full submission. That's Jesus. That's Jesus. That's what we should be getting trained to do. That's who we are to be trained to be. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we look like that, I cannot sleep and I cannot be comfortable and I cannot think I have it together until I look like that. I cannot go to church as usual and do the same things that I've been doing until I look like that. If I'm there and it's not pushing me to look like him, then it does not matter. This is church. I tell anybody that's in the church that ain't pushing them further to be just like Jesus, leave. That's the whole point. Yes, we can do everything we want to do. Praise the Lord for all that. In the day, I need to be leaving that church looking like Jesus. And something ought to happen in that service that exemplifies Jesus and shows me how to function like Jesus. It's training me in here to do whatever I got to do out there. That's the point. Don't you ever, I will come and beat you with a stick. If I ever find out you come and preach to something else, and come and do a bunch of little church jogging and all that little stuff and all that little mess. That's why the church is weak right now. It's doing all this little mess and having all these little raffles and having all these little things, and it become a glorified social club, a glorified fraternity or sorority, and it's glorified a little group of people come and talk together, and there's no power because it's not getting trained. The scripture just says what it's for. It is for the perfecting, for coming to a perfect man of the knowledge of the Son of God and to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's the point. That's where we're going. That's what church is about. Now, that is church unusual. All right? We've been in church a long time, haven't we? Huh, y'all? We've been in church a long time, huh? We've been in church a long time. We've done a lot of things. We've jumped through a lot of hoops. But when it comes down to getting like Jesus, that's when it gets real, all right? We go back to verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Y'all see that? Say it, edifying of the body of Christ. All right, then it goes on to say, till we come to unity, faith, knowledge of the Son of God, edifying of the body of Christ. The last night, edifying of the body of Christ. I got it all highlighted in my Bible. Edifying of the body of Christ. And then it says, until we all come into the unity of the faith, and then the knowledge of the Son of God, Until a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Go to Matthew chapter 16 real quick. Let me see. I don't know. That's the one I wanted to go to. Let me find it real quick. Matthew chapter 16, and I won't go through the whole story again. We'll start with verse 13. And this is after Jesus warned his disciples about, we've seen this scripture before, but Jesus warned his disciples to beware of the Pharisees' unleavened bread. And of course, the disciples thought he was talking about because they didn't bring literal bread on the trip. And then Jesus had to shine on them a little bit and say, hey, you don't remember when we broke bread the last time and we fed the 4,000 and 5,000? Don't tell me anything about bread. I can make bread whenever I want to make bread. You need to listen and catch the revelation. Everybody say, catch the revelation. Come on, say it again. Say, catch the revelation. Come on, say it again. Catch the revelation. Now, one thing, say realize the revelation. Come on, say it again. Realize the revelation. Come on, say it again. Realize the revelation. Now, I said this before, but when you immunize something, you make it immune, right? When you legalize something, you make it legal, right? So when you realize something, what are you doing? You make it real. So realize. Everybody say realize. Come on, say it again. Realize. Come on, say it again. Realize the revelation. Now, you're not going, and this is another message, but you're not working up until the revelation. You're working from a revelation. All right? You don't work up to love. You work from love. Listen to me. Whenever you're doing, you're studying all that, you're not working to get a revelation. You got the revelation already. You just have to realize it. Holy Spirit got to dig deep on the inside of you and pull you up so you can realize the revelation is already inside of you. Great is he that is well. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells well. Where is that? In you. So that's the Spirit of God, ain't it? So the revelation is in him. He is the revelation. Jesus is the revelation. So do you have him or don't you have him? Do you have him or don't you have him? So now you're not working towards a revelation. We do that sometimes. We think we're going to study so we can get a revelation. No, you got. Everybody say, I got it. I got a revelation already. All right? But I have to let the Holy Spirit pull that thing up out of me. And I have to condition. Listen to me. I have to condition. Everybody say condition. I have to condition my mind for revelation. Understand this. A lot of times we don't feel the revelation coming up out of us because our mind is conditioned for everything else. If you're conditioned to speak Spanish, then when English shows up, you won't understand what it's saying. Or we're backwards. We should be conditioned for the supernatural. We should understand the supernatural language. We should understand what that looks like and what that sounds like. And although it does not look like everybody and what everybody's doing, it's still the revelation. And we should understand that and function in that, and things will start changing around us from the inside out. I'm not getting a revelation. I have a revelation. So I'm not working to a revelation, I'm working from. I'm not working to love, I'm working from love. You got it? You got it? All right, so now Jesus told them, beware the Pharisees and unleavened bread. Right? He's trying to get them to think higher than what they're thinking. So verse 13, it says, when he came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, he didn't say disciple, singular. It didn't say, now you know the story, it didn't say Peter, all right? It said he asked his disciples. That means he came into the room and asked all of them, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What's the next three words? Verse 14, what it says? And they said, so they, who is they? You know, we always talking about they. Well, they trying to hold me back. They, who is they? We don't even know who they are. What is they right here? They said, the disciples, they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. And some say, some Elias. And others, Jeremiah, so one of the prophets. He said unto who? What he said unto who? Them. All right, that's a revelation. That he said, the disciples, plural. Then he says, they said, and he said unto them. But whom say ye that I am? Verse 16, read it. And Simon Peter answered and said, Simon Peter himself, they wasn't talking no more. It wasn't a group discussion anymore. It's never, when it comes down to revelation, it's not a group discussion. It's not a group, say to your neighbor. No, it's not a group discussion anymore. It's a personal thing. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Real absolute. I can hear him saying it now. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Peter was kind of cocky. I know Peter's kind of crazy, right? You know, most of the crazy stories we hear about disciples was Peter. Peter cut the ear off. Peter walked on the water. Peter caught the first fish. They had the money in the mouth. Peter threw the net over. Peter wanted to deny them. All that. That's crazy Peter. All right, crazy Peter, right? Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said to them, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Not blessed are y'all. He didn't say y'all blessed. Y'all blessed because Simon understood the revelation. No. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood is not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. You see that? To you. So now it's no longer a group thing. I praise the Lord. I'm thankful for. I understand every joint supply. I understand the revelation. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters that go to church, a couple of them in here go to church with me. I appreciate everybody coming to church with me. I do. I appreciate every single one of them. But if you decide not to get a revelation, it's not going to stop me from getting a revelation. Because the blessing is in the revelation. The blessing is in me understanding. The revelation is in me already. You get it? The blessing is in that. I'm glad we're here. I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. I was glad that we all here, shake your hand, greet somebody, all that good stuff. But now, okay, nobody wants to talk to you anymore. Let's understand this revelation. Let's let the Holy Spirit pull the realization of this revelation up out of me. All right? Because I got this spirit on the inside of me. But now I need it to be opened to me. So you can't open it up yourself. Only the Holy Spirit can open it up for you. You with me? But it says, verse 18, it says, and I say unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against, and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. All right, now listen to this, verse 18, I'm going to say it again. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. You remember we studied and we said, now the rock is the revelation, right? You remember that? The rock is the revelation. I did further study, and it's two sides of it. God, the edifying of the body of Christ, the edifying of the body of Christ. And the Lord showed me something that, number one, you build on the revelation. You build on the revelation of Jesus, right? Because Jesus is the revelation, right? So you build the church on the revelation, right? But the revelation cannot function without a host. The revelation cannot function without an individual. Can your spirit function without your body? Huh? Can your spirit function, where the revelation at? Can it function without your body, right? So it needs you, right? So we build it on the revelation of Jesus Christ now, but now it's built on you because you got the revelation, or do you? Can the church be becoming a pillar in the church? Somebody's training us, training us. Everybody say training. See, it's training us. See, the church is weak because we're weak. The church is flimsy because we're flimsy. So it's training us to understand the revelation that's in us so that God begins to build the church on you. Why do you think God uses somebody like Apostle? Because he spent the time and he got a revelation of who Jesus is in him, and you can't change his mind. And nevertheless, so all I do what my Father tells me to do. So now I build it upon my apostles. You get it? Do you get it? No. He's trying to build the church. Every time we come to church, he's trying to build a church on us. But if we're not a strong enough pillar, it's going to crush us. So God said, listen, y'all just stand on the side till I get more revelation. Because blessed are thou, Simon Barjona. Blessed are you. You bless Simon because you understand the revelation. You get it. Everybody say, I got it. Come on, everybody say, I get it. Come on, say, I got it. Come on, say, I get it. Come on, say, I got it. Come on, say, I get it. Listen, when you get it, that's when he can build on you. Now, you got it, but do you get it? Good question, huh? You got it, but do you get it? How you walking around with all that power and you don't even know you got it? How you walking around with all that ability on the inside of you, but you don't get it? You don't, they ain't got it all up here. You heard somebody say that? It's us. We quit calling other people crazy. No, it's us. It is the craziest thing in the world for us to have the Spirit of God on the inside of us and live like we live. We ain't got it all up here. So let this mind. Allow this mind. Allow this mind. All right, you want to be a pillar in the church? You want God use me? Get a revelation. Get it. Get it. Get the revelation. You want to be used? Get the revelation. You don't need to go. Listen. You're gonna leave here with some papers and and sign that you graduated school and all that stuff. Bravo. Blessings on you. But that ain't gonna get you nowhere if you don't understand the revelation on the inside of you. Get it?